From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right, another full hour today with Ray Mondragon with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And Ray, typically in studio with us, but Ray joining us from a distance. Where in the Lone Star State did you land today?
Well, today I'm in Houston, and I'm doing a creation seminar for West Houston Bible Church.
Okay.
So I'll be here for actually 3 weeks. Going to extend evenings, and I'm filling in for a pastor who's on a mission trip to Poland.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you in studio next month, and you know how much Texan you've learned. As, you know, when it comes to the kaya yippee-yi-yay, what have you? You can do full translations for us.
Well, I'll give you a report when we get back.
Very good. Well, it's going to be a busy hour, Ray. And actually, Ray, if you'd kind of set up the hour in our first segment, we're going to let the listeners know about some events that they can attend and introduce a guest that you've brought onto the show today. But what to expect later in the show for segments 2, 3, and 4?
Well, we've completed our look at the age of the universe. So what I'd like to do is wrap up at the end here. What are the implications of each of the two different views? And I think they're striking implications that we need to be aware of. So it's just kind of a wrap-up session. So I'll go through a few items that we need to think about in terms of the two different views, whether the universe is a billions of years old or whether it is relatively young. And we've been making the case that the Bible gives us the impression that the earth and the universe is only in the range of 6,000 years, not billions. So I'd like to kind of deal with the implications of that.
All right. So we'll look forward to hearing that. With that, let me bring in your guest. Mike Riddle joins us. Mike is the founder and president of Creation Training Initiative and has taught Bible creation and apologetics for over 40 years and spoken with over 500 churches and to 16,000 youth over that time. And Mike, welcome into ABQ Connect. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
Ray, you had let us know, and I'll let the audience know, about an apologetics event that Mike will be heading up at Faith Bible Church in Albuquerque. That's Central and Moon on Sunday, June 1st, 8:30 in the morning. It is a ticketed event. So if you plan to attend, go to faithbibleabq.org. You're really encouraged to register in advance. Of course, if you just show up that day, I'm sure they'll take care of you. Mike, what can we expect during the conference?
Well, this is kind of a very unique training course. One, it is a training course. So one of the things that makes it unique is while we're up there teaching, it's like a regular classroom. People can ask questions all day long. And we call it apologetics for the 21st century. There's no other course that we know of quite like this that covers these topics. It hits the entire woke agenda, starting with the Great Reset. What is that? We even go into tactics people use for controlling people and nations, how they're trying to do the depopulation of the world. We'll go into climate change. We'll talk all about the reality of climate change, that it is false what they've been presenting, how they're using fear tactics there. We'll go into Big Pharma, what they have done with vaccinations and, let's put it bluntly, putting sugar in everything, which is not good for you. We'll go into the entire trans alphabet soup, the LGBT community, what's happening there. We'll talk about artificial intelligence and transhumanism. Then we're going to wrap it up with the church's opportunities and responsibility. What has the church been doing, and what can we do, especially to train our youth? Because that's a big part of what we want done here. We want teachers there, parents there, pastors there, youth leaders there, so they can get enough information to go back and train their youth. So it's a power-packed class, 8:30 to 5:30. We do take a break every hour, and we'll have exercises in there to help you reinforce the learning of the information. So it's very different in that aspect. It's not just one lecture after another. We take time to answer questions all day long in the classroom.
So, Mike, you know, if I were in front of the Apostle Peter and you know, I went to ask him about his credentials, you know, I would get, you know, he's, you know, fishing, but I'd also see on his resume 3 years spent with the Lord and learning and preparing for the ministry that he went on to do for the rest of his life. But I say that to set up for those listening. And Mike Riddle, maybe they're not that familiar with you as far as your credentials, and just knowing that, you know, Ray encouraged you to come on the show. I'm sure there's quite a resume. If you could share some of that with our audience, even if it's just education and experience, which we already mentioned some of.
Before he does that, Steve, he actually did a seminar in Albuquerque at Hoffmantown Church. Trying to remember, I was part of it, and I think it's about 5 or 6 years. Do you remember?
It's been at least that long.
Yeah. So go ahead and share what Steve asked you to do.
Well, one thing, I didn't become a believer until I was 30 years old. I was an evolutionist, took all that in him. But once I got saved, I started looking through the Bible and noticed evolution just simply couldn't be true. But I've got a long background, which means I've been here a long time. I've taught all the way from formerly from junior high to graduate level training courses, background in mathematics, and a large background in education. I've taught places like NASA, many secular universities, Christian universities. I've debated college professors. I've taught at the Institute for Creation Research's graduate school and other places like that. So I've got a wide background in education, which means I'm still learning.
Well, go ahead.
Then also I had a background in track and field. I was a national champion at track and field and a captain in the United States Marine Corps.
Well, I appreciate.
So I've been able to do a lot of different things.
Appreciate your service, Semper Fi.
Thank you.
I'm a military brat, so I served in that capacity for at least 18 years.
Well, good for you. Thank you.
But one of the things I did want to touch on as people are preparing for this course, you know, who would you like to see attend this? Is this something more to equip the saints? Or in addition to that, would you welcome academia, including people who may not, see things the same way that we see them? I mention that because, you know, other people are going to be inviting people, and it may the venue may not really be set up for debate. But what would you like to? What would you hope to see at this training session?
Well, our target main audience is the believer. The believer there. Though we occasionally have people who do not agree with us, and they come to class, and we welcome them also. So, but the target is mainly the believer, so that they can go away equipped to start teaching their children, and that's what we want to have happen. It's because we want like teachers to be there, Christian school teachers, homeschool teachers, youth leaders. We want to get them there because they're a critical position for us. They have a very valuable position there. We want to get them trained so they can take this back and start teaching their youth groups. So we'll welcome anybody. It's not a debate session, but we're there to teach the truth. And we'll also show you how to answer a lot of questions throughout here. So it's not just giving information. We give you time to practice asking questions and how to answer them.
Very good. Well, I did see that this information is available at faithbibleabq.org. And actually, I'm supposed to know the answer to this before I ask, but I'm going to go ahead because it's on the website. And if you don't know, just tell me that, but I assume you do, one of you. On the website as well for this event, it mentions Dr. Anthony Silvestro. Can you, if you know, let us know more about what to expect?
Yes, he'll be one of the co-teachers. He's his expertise is in with the big pharmaceuticals, vaccinations. He's was a dentist, a high level dentist for many years, dental surgeon, and so he understands all that information, the science behind vaccinations and food and nutrition. Those are his big fields in there. So he'll be doing the several sessions on that also. So we'll be doing a co-teach. And also for Faith Bible Church, they can actually just call them up if they want to versus email. And I'll give you the phone number.
Yeah, please do.
That is 505-275-0366. That's 505-275-0366. They can just call up and register that way.
It's great information. And before we close out this session, and we are going to mention a couple of other things available from the Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico, including their monthly meeting and a mini seminar coming up. But before we get to that, Raymond Dragon, I wanted to throw it to you to, in case you had any questions for Mike.
Well, in the little time that we have, he might give us a little sample of one of the talks that he's going to do.
All right, Mike.
Maybe the big pharma one.
One of my favorite ones is tactics for controlling people and nations. And that one starts with the Garden of Eden. How did Satan deceive Eve? And incidentally, those same tactics used in the Garden of Eden is the same tactics used to sell evolution and climate change in the LGBT community. Nothing's hardly even changed, except they just added fear tactics in there.
Very good.
We'll talk about how they alter language and how they've controlled the public education system.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, I don't want to give away too much. Will some of that include apparent truths or faux truth? Or what I'm thinking about is, you know, when you say the Garden of Eden, I think of the enemy saying, did God really say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We will cover that exact thing in pretty good detail. It's actually... it's a six-step process Satan used to deceive Eve. We go through the whole process.
Very good. Very interesting. Looking forward to that. Now, the other things that I mentioned, the mini-seminar is also on the calendar. And now that is a free event, I believe. Is that right, Ray?
Yes, it's free to anyone. In fact, we encourage as many people to be there as possible.
Okay, now that's going to be happening Friday and Saturday, May 24th and 25th, and that is at Calvary Chapel East up in the Northeast Heights, real close to what people you might remember from years ago as the Blue Cross Blue Shield building, the standing out there by itself, a tall building in the Northeast Heights near Indian School and Tramway, but it's at Calvary Chapel East in Albuquerque. Their website is calvarychapeleast.com. You can also find information about this mini-seminar on the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico website, csfnm.org, and presented by Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico and Noah Webster College. Dr. Russ Humphreys and Dr. John Baumgartner both taking part in that. Some of the things covered, scriptures pointing to a young world, how ought a Christian respond to the claims of evolution, science evidence for a young earth, Noah's flood, what was it actually like, a more biblical cosmology, Noah's flood, another topic on how fossils were formed so quickly. So that's the mini creations conference Friday and Saturday, May 24th and 25th at Calvary Chapel East in Albuquerque, a free event. And you can look for details again, calvarychapeleast.com or csfnm.com. .org. And then I also want to mention the monthly meeting with the Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico. This is another free event and it happens this month, Tuesday, May 21st, the third Tuesday each month. It's at 7 p.m. Faith Bible Church in Albuquerque, Central and Moon. And this month, Ray, I believe, is it the Red Record with Bruce Malone? Is that the topic?
I think so. I'm not exactly sure, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
You might point out also that Russ Humphreys, we've had him as a guest on a couple of occasions, and actually fairly recently, about 3 months ago, he was the one that told us a little bit about the age of the earth issue relating to starlight. People might remember that one, and he will give an extended discussion in some of those areas when he comes. So
and
your audience,
go ahead.
Your audience has already heard Russ Humphreys, and I've referred several times to John Baumgartner, so he's going to cover some of the flood material that I presented that he's done a lot of research on.
Very good. Well, our guest for the first segment on today's ABQ Connect, Mike Riddle, has joined us. And again, Mike, I'm going to repeat the information about the Apologetics for the 21st Century course that's happening at Faith Bible Church in Albuquerque, Central and Moon, on Sunday, June 1st. Is that
Saturday?
Saturday, June 1st. Right. That's why I paused, because the second would be. So Saturday, June 1st at 8:30 in the morning with Mike Riddle, the Creation Training Initiative, and Dr. Anthony Silvestro. The details are on the website, as well as registration and ticket information at faithbibleabq.org. Mike, before we go to a break and let you go, anything else you want to leave us with?
No, we're just looking forward to a good group of people to partake in the class.
All right.
And we're looking forward to some nice weather down there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll put in an order for no wind. It's been a very windy spring in Albuquerque.
Okay.
But we appreciate your time and really look forward to having you in Albuquerque for the KLYT listener to enjoy that Apologetics for the 21st Century. Thanks again, Mike.
Well, thank you, and God bless.
All right. And, Ray, you can stay with us through the break on to our next segments. Yes?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more with Ray Mondragon on ABQ Connect. All right. Welcome back into ABQ Connect. We're actually in the midst of a conversation with Ray Mondragon with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And Ray, what a great first segment. And just to recap real quick, a couple of things happening at Faith Bible Church. One of them being the monthly meeting happening May 21st, Tuesday evening. That, and then the Apologetics for the 21st Century course that's happening on Saturday, June 1st at 8:30 in the morning. It's a full day event with Mike Riddle from the Creation Training Initiative and Dr. Anthony Silvestro. Details about both of those at faithbibleabq.org. And then the mini creation seminar is coming to Albuquerque. Now that's going to be up at Calvary Chapel East near Indian School and Tramway on May 24th and 25th, a Friday and Saturday. That is a free event. The course with Mike Riddle, by the way, is ticketed, and you want to register for that in advance. The mini creation conference on the 24th and 25th of May with Russ Humphreys and John Baumgartner, presented by the Creation Science Fellowship of NEMECO and Noah Webster College. You'll find those details at calvarychapeleast.com or on the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico website, csfnm.org. All right, enough said, Ray.
Well, you might mention that that ticketed event, if they mention that they heard about it on K-Lite, they'll get a free ticket. That's what Mike mentioned off the air there.
Okay. The details again on the website, csfnm.org. Actually, one of the other things he said, you can call Faith Church, Faith Bible Church, directly at 505-275-0366. And Ray, let's jump into our monthly conversation. You, I think, intended to review, though, first with us a little bit.
Well, you never know whether anybody's been listening in the other sessions, so let me just kind of give them a brief overview of what we've already covered. Now, we have been for several months now dealing with the age of the universe. And again, there are two conflicting views on it. There's the secular view that, in general, the majority of people would hold to, whether they know it or not, almost by default. And that is that the universe is billions of years old, because that's all you hear from the public schools. That's all you hear from the news media. That's all you hear from university. So you're not going to hear anything else unless you're exposed to your program here. And those few churches that have a biblical orientation and attempt to teach what the Bible teaches. So from that perspective, the universe is only thousands of years, somewhere around 6, as opposed to 4.5 billion for the age of the Earth. So we've been going over that, and I gave, first of all, why would we hold to that? Why would we go against the flow of science? Well, for those that have a high view of Scripture, we looked at some of the biblical reasons why a young Earth is portrayed in Scripture. And in fact, there's nothing that gives you a hint that the universe is even millions of years, much less billions of years. So I gave some biblical support. And then we jumped into the sciences, and we looked at several different areas of science that people use to come up with the old dating or the ancient dating of the universe. And we had Marshall Jordan as a guest. He's a medical doctor, but he's done research in the area of radiocarbon dating. So he gave us a little bit of a review of some of the weaknesses of the secular view that uses carbon dating, radiocarbon dating. And in fact, as you do more research, you find out that actually C14 or carbon, radioactive carbon, and dating using that method actually is a friend of the creationist and the young Earth viewpoint. That was one of the points that Russ Humphreys also made as well. So radiocarbon dating, that's one of the areas. And then I also went into some other dating methods, radiometric. And we saw that all of them are based on faulty assumptions. Some of those assumptions have been refuted by creationists. But that's a common way that people date not only the Earth, but the universe, is radiocarbon dating. And when we were talking about the Genesis flood, we touched on it, but I brought out the fact that the geological column is also, in other words, the layers that you can find everywhere on the face of the earth, the layers of material that was laid down, that is used and interpreted. And that's the key word there. They interpret the geological column as being laid down over millions and millions of years, adding up to billions. But when we were talking about the Genesis flood, I mentioned that same data, the same geological column, that's not the only way that you can interpret the data. In fact, there's more evidence that points to a sudden and rapid layering of all the geological column all the way down to the pre-Cambrian layer. And it fits the description that we have in Genesis 6 through 8 of the Genesis flood. So the Bible gives us a little insight as to how to interpret all of those layers. And when you take a biblical interpretation of the data, then you come up with a relatively young Earth and in the range of 6,000 years again. So that's one of the things that we've looked at in the past. We had Russ Humphreys. We mentioned him as a guest. He gave evidence from the RATE group, that's radioisotopes and the age of the Earth. they abbreviate it, RATE. And he gave lots of evidence that they came up with for a relatively young Earth. And Russ is a long-time physicist from Sandia National Labs, retired now, and he's done lots of research here. So he is a huge authority on the age of the universe.
And a reminder, Ray, that Dr. Russ Humphreys, along with Dr. John Baumgartner, will be heading up the Mini Creation Conference Friday and Saturday, May 24th and 25th at Calvary Chapel East in Albuquerque. And I'll repeat the website, calvarychapeleast.com and csfnm.org. And I interrupted. I'll let you press on. Unless we're going to new material, if you're done with the review, we'll actually take a break.
I've got a couple of other things, and then we can go to break. Russ actually was a guest two times on your program. The one that I just referenced on the RATE committee or the RATE group, but he also gave us some insight from astrophysics where he discussed the problem of the light from distant galaxies that are billions of light years away.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. The question is, how did that light get here in a relatively short time? So he gave us some insight from Genesis 1 that gives us some guidance on that. And he dealt with that issue. And based on his conclusions, astrophysics also gives us evidence for a relatively young Earth. Then the last few things that we looked at last time were there are other ways of dating things like the Earth. And I think I gave you a list of at least 7 or 8 of them. So these are scientific clocks, you might say, that give us time frames. And based on similar approaches as the secularist would, in other words, using his approach, for example, dissolved salt in the oceans gives us a relatively young Earth, and dissolved nickel, dissolved uranium, in fact, dissolved silicon, you can measure it and figure out how long does it take for silicon to accumulate in the oceans, and you come up with a number about 8,000 years maximum. And these are maximums, so when you have a maximum, then it kind of trumps all of the other dates that might be a little bit longer. So we looked at things like that last time and other clocks to show that there are areas of science that, in fact, give us a relatively young Earth. So the question that many raise, well, maybe the Bible gives us a young age, but doesn't science give us indications that the universe is old? Only if you interpret it based on certain assumptions. Otherwise, the science actually supports a relatively young Earth as well. Now, people are not going to hear that. This information is not readily made available because we have an overwhelming, unbelieving environment that we have to operate in. But the data is there. The science is there.
Hey, you know, and Ray, before we go to a break, I want to make sure people know a couple of things. You referenced a couple of times Russ Humphreys has joined us on the show. And those archives are available at abqconnect.online. Also on your website at forhisglorynm.com. Spell out the word for, F-O-R, forhisglorynm.com. And as far as the information, you know, not being available readily out there, a reminder that they will find information on your website at forhisglorynm.com, as well as Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, csfnm.org. You'll find a substantial amount of reference material available through the website, so you can go check that out as well. Ray, we'll take a quick break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to do some more right after the break on ABQ Connect. All right, we're in the midst of a conversation with Ray Mondragon from the Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico. Before we jump back into that, you just heard the radio spot called attention to the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque and their open houses during the month of May and actually into June as well. And just went last night to the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque fundraising banquet and heard from their president and CEO, their national president and CEO. What a great message delivered and encouragement to be supportive of what's happening that way in New Mexico. We're also going to be interviewing soon someone from Focus on the Family on the topic of the pro-life event that is coming. And I love what was said last night. Pro-abundant life is what we should be about, and go into details in that from that message. But on the Calvary website on the KLYT website at KLYT.fm, go to the See Life banner for a free event, which you can attend in person at Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs, or online June 15th at 6 in the evening, See Life 24. And find out more about that by going to our website at klyt.fm. It's right there on the homepage. We'll be getting an update in studio from CareNet on the 23rd. So make sure you're tuned in for that as well. And of course, be tuned in daily at 1 o'clock on ABQ Connect. You'll hear from all kinds of people, including people like you, Ray. Ray Mondragon joining us. I was going to say back in studio, via the phone line though, Ray, out in Houston, for coverage for someone else in ministry. We appreciate you doing that. But also appreciate you taking the time to walk through with us today, implications of the age of the universe, as we jump back into it.
Yeah. As we've covered the area of the age of the universe, and we've focused primarily on the science of it, but there are some very serious implications as well. And I've got at least six of them. There's more, but I think we have time maybe in our last half hour here to look at maybe six different implications. The first one would be, what is a person's authority? In other words, their final authority. And we as believers, in our thinking and in the things that dictate how we live, we hold that the Bible gives us all the insight that we need to live a not only successful but very fulfilling life. So we look to the scriptures when it comes to what is our final authority. And when it comes to science, we do the same thing. But the problem is, if you hold to an old earth view, you have shifted your authority away from scripture and on to basically secular thinking and the secular time frame. I call it the evolutionary time frame. And then what you end up doing, if you're a believer, then you have to try to fit scripture into it. And when you do that, you end up twisting the actual meaning of the text, and you end up with an interpretation that I don't think was ever intended by the original authors, and certainly not by the Holy Spirit that inspired the scriptures.
Well, Ray, speak a little bit to the danger of doing that too, in that, twisting the scripture to meet, what your beliefs as it pertains to science is really it could be easily a beginning to something far worse as far as the view of scripture.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's what happens. And unfortunately, people don't realize that the scriptures don't change, but science does. So when any new theory comes up, then now you got to revise not only your scientific view, but you have to revise the way that you interpreted passages in the past of scripture.
Yeah, and so, in regards to your comment that science changes. I would encourage them to go back and listen to the discussion we had previously on uniformitarianism that walks through specifically how Scripture shows us that science changes.
Well, the natural realm has been radically changed by God. And as a result of that, if you study the natural realm before, for example, the Genesis flood, you're going to have different constants in some areas, even radiometric constants. You're going to have different laws of science or modified laws. They'll be different. So, yes, science does change. But even within the era after the Genesis flood, the era we're living in, there's stability. But there's still debate. And as you find more data or you look at more data and you evaluate your past conclusions, sometimes you modify them because now you have more information and more ideas as to what reality is all about than what you did before. And sometimes theories are abandoned and sometimes theories are modified radically, but the Scripture remains the same. So when science begins to see things differently, then you got to modify your understanding of Scripture, and that's a fatal flaw of the whole process. So number one, what is the authority? And we hold to a young earth because we hold to the Scriptures as our final authority, and that's what Scripture seems to indicate. And we've tried to demonstrate that the science goes along with it anyway. In other words, the science that we know of, and there's plenty of scientific evidence that supports a relatively young earth. So number one, the question, what is your authority? Any comment you want to make on that?
No, no, actually, let's press on. You've got some great information on the way.
Okay, secondly, another implication is Scripture claims to be not only authoritative, but obviously inspired. And when we speak of inspiration, we believe that when the books of the Bible were written originally, they were inspired by God, God moving human authors, taking their human culture, language, thinking, but controlling the whole process so that the end product is what God intended for man to have on a long-range basis. And that's the doctrine of inspiration. So when you tamper with Scripture, as I just mentioned on our first implication there, you're actually undermining in people's thinking the inspiration of Scripture. And if they can't trust Scripture, then all the theological ideas that are presented become suspect. So you're undermining Scripture, I think, if you hold to a relatively old earth. And I've already mentioned that all of the views that go contrary to Scripture, trying to fit science into Scripture, are compromises. So you're compromising Scripture, you're undermining Scripture, and you're undermining not only inspiration, but inerrancy. And we believe in the doctrine of inerrancy. The Bible teaches it. And as apologetics tries to demonstrate, is we have answers to all of these questions that people have, all of these issues, like the age of the earth, like origins, like why are we here, things like that. The Bible gives us answers, and they're not only inspired, but we believe that they are inerrant. In other words, they are accurate and true and without error. That's what inerrancy means. So we believe that if Scripture makes a statement, we can trust it. And now there are some that try to compromise even inerrancy. They will try to compromise and say, well, the Bible might be, and maybe I could hold to an inerrancy when the Bible speaks about theological things, things about God, things about theology. Maybe it's inerrant there. But is it inerrant when it talks about history? Is it inerrant when it talks about science? And they might question, well, the Bible's not a science book. It's not a history book. But I hold to full inerrancy, and the reason we've gone through all of these issues relating to science, not only the age of the universe, but also the Genesis flood, is to try to show that the Bible is, in fact, not only authoritative, but accurate, and it doesn't give us a misleading idea and actually comments on many areas of science. So the scriptures, we don't want to compromise them. We want to be careful and give them the authority that God intended. So that's number two. And the old earth view compromises scripture. So that's the negative aspect.
Okay, and Ray, we're going to take a quick break and actually come back and run through these final four implications you're preparing to share with us. If you can stay with us through the break, we'll do that in just a minute, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, we'll be right back after this on ABQ Connect. All right, thanks for joining us. We get back into our conversation with Ray Mondragon and walking through the implications of the age of the universe and believing in an old earth. What implications then arise? And Ray, I don't know how close you're listening during the break, but I love the harmony of what God does in the programming sometimes on the station. Nothing picked there to harmonize with what we're intentionally, I should say. It did harmonize. And I don't know if you heard Greg Laurie's statement when he was talking about who God is and his age, of course, being eternally in the past and eternally in the future and present with us now, and explaining things to unbelieving people who would say I don't get how this, whatever the topic is, and his comment being God isn't small enough for your mind to comprehend, but certainly big enough to cover all your needs.
Almost like God is sovereign, huh?
Yeah, right. In that hand of providence, putting the content there during our discussion. So we've talked about authority. What is your authority? Is it science or is it scripture? We've talked about scripture, not to compromise it. And one of the things that came to mind for me there was in a discussion where someone say, well, it was written by man. Well, if that is your sole belief about scripture, then you're compromising the fact, like you said, that scripture is inspired. It's God breathed in addition to God using men to write the scripture. But you have four more to walk us through.
Well, if we can get to them, but the next one is very important as well. If you believe in the old earth view, then you have a problem with some statements in the New Testament. For example, Paul, and I'm going to read out of Romans 5, it put death before sin. And Paul is very, very clear. This is doctrinal. This is theological. So the old earth view goes against Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. And notice what Paul says. Therefore, just as through one man, now if you read the context, he's talking about Adam. So Paul believed in the historicity of Genesis 1 through, well, all of Genesis, starting with Genesis chapter 1, and he's referring to that one man, and if you read in the context, he's referring to Adam. And what he says here, just as through one man, Adam, you might include in parentheses, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So what he's stating here is that death is the result of sin, and sin originated with Adam. And Paul doesn't state it, but he would accept, if he believes that Adam was a real person, he would believe that the creation was very good. And what he's commenting here is there was no death before Adam. And after sin entered, now death is here. So death through sin, and so death spread to all men. In other words, we're experiencing death today. And it says, because all sinned. Now, he's building a theology here, or a theological point, but he's referring to actual historical past events, and particularly the fall of mankind. But the point here is, if you hold to an old universe, then it becomes very, very fuzzy when sin entered, and in fact, when did man come about, and when did the image of God come into mankind? Because the old earth people have a tendency of accepting some of the evolutionary ideas concerning the origin of man, and therefore the origin of sin. So, and before that, evolution teaches that man is the end product of lots of death, lots of changes, lots of mutations, lots of degeneration, actually. This goes totally contrary to what Paul was trying to present here in Romans chapter 5. And it goes on, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And then verse 14, he emphasizes that, nevertheless, death reigned, and then specifically from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned. In other words, death continued, and it reigned like a king. In other words, it dominated. And like those who sinned in the likeness of Adam's offense, who is a type of him who is to come. So he's developing a typology between Christ and the work that he did on us to release us from sin. So it goes to the heart of the gospel message. The old earth view makes all of that very, very fuzzy, and in fact, in some ways, actually contradicts Romans chapter 5. So that's your implication number 3 there. You ready for number 4?
I am.
Okay. Number 4 on my list, anyway, and I don't have them in any order of importance, except maybe the first two there, the authority and scripture. But the old earth view accepts, and I've already hinted at it, accepts many points of the evolutionary thinking, and one of them is the time frame. It accepts the evolutionary time frame of the universe, but also some of the other ideas that are very fuzzy concerning the origin of man. There are many old earthers that believe that man somehow evolved into humans from non-human creatures, and that's an evolutionary idea that also goes contrary to scripture. So the old earth view accepts evolutionary thinking. So if you hold to the old earth, you are accepting some of the evolutionary theology, you might say, or the evolutionary thinking at least. So that's number 4. Number 5, we spent a whole session on the concept of uniformitarianism. And if you hold to the old earth, all of the dating methods of the old earth view assume uniformitarianism. And this one is similar to number 3, that it contradicts what scripture teaches. And I gave you 2 Peter 3 that tells us that Peter was dealing with evolution or uniformitarian thinking back in the first century, and he refutes it in 2 Peter chapter 3. We went over all of that. So if you accept the old earth view, all of the dating methods used to come up with an old universe depend on the assumption, and it's an assumption, the assumption of uniformitarianism that we tried to refute when we spent a whole session on it. So that's your number 5. And the number 6 one that I have on our list here is, if in fact you do accept the old earth view, then you end up neglecting all of the scientific evidence that we talked about. The other clocks, the evidence from radiometric dating, the evidence of the Genesis flood, you end up neglecting all of that scientific evidence. And what that does is that puts you in a position of being unscientific. So there's your six implications. And like I said, there's others, but these are probably enough to encourage people to consider that the Earth is relatively young, just as the Bible seems to indicate in the early chapters of the book of Genesis.
Ray Mondragon has been our guest for the hour, and along with his guest, Mike Riddle, in the first segment. And I want to remind our listeners very quickly, there's some events coming up. The Mini Creation Conference, Friday and Saturday, May 24th and 25th at Calvary Chapel East. Details at calvarychapeleast.com. or the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico website at csfnm.org. And then, of course, the monthly meeting with Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico at Faith Bible Church on Tuesday night, May 21st at 7 o'clock. Details about that and the video, the Red Record with Bruce Malone, expected to be shown. It's a project that provides a fascinating confirmation of the biblical model for Ice Age mysteries, such as why mankind traveled into North America. Those details at csfnm.org. And then the Apologetics for the 21st Century that is coming to Faith Bible Church on June 1st. That's a Saturday at 8:30 in the morning throughout the full day there. And details about that, whether it's ticket information or other information regarding Mike Riddle of the Creation Training Initiative and Dr. Anthony Silvestro, faithbibleabq.org. We are out of time, Ray, but we will look forward to next month. And next month, you'll be in Israel, and we're going to see if we can work out details to have you live on from Israel or record a show with an update. But appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to next month.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.